It's a beautiful day in the universe, everybody. Welcome to our second official episode. If we're catching you guys in here, thank you so much for coming back. Today, you guys, we're going to be talking about more things in depth about black holes and potentially even talking about theoretical things like white holes and other things like that and seeing how they could be connecting up together.
What's up, guys? So once again, welcome back to the END, Universal Theories Podcast. Again, we're talking about black holes, white holes, and possibly how they connect. So, you know, we talked about black holes last episode a little bit, but I just want to go more in depth about them and what they really are and what they have the potential to do. And
For sure.
You know, the, what we know of from the information that we have is about, you know, again, suns dying, like we talked about in the last podcast, but they we didn't talk about was how slow they die because of the way, like, how we perceive it through
the natural
light.
Decay of a star.
Yeah, exactly. Because it happens a lot faster than we see it happen, but because of how far away it is, how the light hits us, you know what I mean? Like,
and even with that, it's just, it already takes a long time just for the thing to happen.
Right. And the stars get hotter and hotter and brighter as they're starting to die, and they change color because they're getting hotter, and it just, that's how they know when a star is getting close to its death, how we study it and everything.
All those hydrogen bonds colliding together and things like that, all them, all that space dust.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah, again, so it's the star exploding and imploding. Like, it expands and then comes back in on itself, and all the gravity and the force and the power of it coming in on itself creates that, the theoretical black hole that it's having. And it's just what they think happens is bringing all that energy, the light, into itself. And that's why it's called a black hole, because a light doesn't escape from it.
Absolutely. There are definitely other theories that are saying that black holes are also decaying, and with all that thing, with those things like that, those are even longer amounts of time. Those
right.
are millions on billions of years versus, I don't even know, hundreds of thousands of years for a star. Just in terms of, like, scale to that, it's extremely long time, because just of how, again, just how everything is, there's not much that can escape. Like, anything that goes into it is just going to be turned into some more space dust to be eaten up by that black hole.
Right. You know, and then they don't have any evidence of where whatever goes into the black hole, where it goes. They don't have a thought of, you know, if the, like, the meteors and stuff like that, space rocks, go into the black hole.
For sure.
Where they go, they come out, or if it just destroys them as it's bringing energy into itself.
Obviously, we can't bring anything in there to see what's going on inside.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah, I mean, true. But, absolutely, it's one of those things that, you know, we have many theories on, and obviously that's why you're here for, you guys.
Right. I think it's really cool, though, like, we didn't have availability to take pictures of black holes. You know, we didn't have a picture of black hole at all.
Yeah.
Albert Einstein, his idea of what a black hole would look like was spot on.
Yeah, for sure.
He didn't know what it looked like. His idea of a black hole would look like. And then we got a picture of it, and it's exactly what he said it would look like.
For sure. I mean, we make a meme about it sometimes, but Einstein was absolutely a visionary. He's, like, always forward. Like, I don't know what other kind of crazy theories that he's got, but, man, if he was the lottery, man, he'd be winning big.
It's also interesting to think about, talking about Einstein again. He would, like, fail classes, like math and stuff, and people just thought he wasn't, like, smart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's because he was so smart, he did things a different way. But they wanted him to do it a certain way.
Absolutely.
But he would get the answer in a different way, and that's what would cause him to fail. And his head was onto bigger and better things before he wanted to finish all that, because he was so intelligent.
Absolutely.
But yeah, also, last time on the first podcast, you talked about the theory that you read about somebody going into a black hole backwards and seeing the beginning and end of the universe.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like, the theory on it is that it's just an all-encompassing, like, data book. It's just a big old hard drive that contains everything that it's like taken in so far. And that's one theory that is very like, I wish for all my being that that one is like pretty true, because that'd be so cool to experience. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like I was saying in the previous one, you would die instantly. But I mean, imagine all of the information in the universe. I mean,
we don't know for sure, though. Given
to. Yeah, absolutely. Again, everything's just a theory. But
right, because we haven't. Nobody has gone into one that we know.
That we know.
You know, we don't know like if another. Again, we talked about before. There's definitely other entities life out entities out yeah. somewhere in the world. Maybe they've gone into it. They don't really know what it is. Maybe it's not dangerous. So we just think it is because of the elements that it has. I was wondering, like, it'd be interesting to find out what happens if you just regularly go into a black hole.
Yeah, for sure.
Not backwards, but the right, like, you know, the regular way to see, like, what it would do. Like, if it does do what the theory is of destroying whatever goes into it, you know, not letting anything out.
Yeah.
If there's something to it, like if it sends you somewhere else in space, or if you're stuck in this nothingness. Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Because that is another prevalent theory, is that black holes, they're a sort of, for anybody that like knows about the gravitational like pull of like a planet, like on that plane, I'm giving hand signs here, but I'm not forward thinking like our boy Einstein, but it's that like oh my gosh, I'm trying to think of a way to describe this into words. It's that dip in the plane where that's where the gravitational
pull is. Oh yeah, it's the time and space plane.
Yes,
it gives the dip in the time and space plane because of the gravity pushing down onto it. It's like a yeah. like a stretched out sheet.
Absolutely.
Or like a like a trampoline. That's a better way to put it. Like a trampoline. When you put weight down on the trampoline, it has a dip, but it's not, there's a hole in it. It's just a dip into it because your weight's pushing down onto it.
And that's another prevalent theory, is that whenever you have that much amount of gravitational pull towards one point, is that it pulls hard enough to where it re-meets at the bottom of it. And that's one of those things where that's how you could find teleportation as a viable counterpoint. It's like one of those things where you can just, if you have enough gravitational point at a third party stance, you could just skip across like light years across of time.
Right.
Or, I'm sorry, of space, time, distance.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But that just made me think right now, actually, is, you know, black holes theoretically are the stars imploding on themselves. But what if it's causing like a implosion before the explosion? Like, what if it's bringing in so much energy, like again, bringing up the trampoline, when you push down on it, all your weight goes down and it springs you back up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what if it's just the energy going down into the space-time
the plane,
and it's bringing you down, or bringing the energy down to push it back out.
For sure. That's a very interesting theory as well, because then at that point, what does it lead into after that? Like, what is the after effects of a gravitational divot in space-time?
Right. Is it like a smaller big crunch theory we talked about before?
Absolutely.
Pushing out the energy back out, and it's sending some space dust back out into space. And that's what they said the Big Bang was. It's the space dust, the Big Bang, and makes the elements and stuff, and then it sends the space dust into different places. They crash and created planets, and gravity forces everything to become a circle in space, or circular shaped, because of the way the gravity is pulling onto it. And then they catch each other in orbit, because this is bigger than the other thing, catches in its orbit.
Yeah.
And slowly, if the other elements, like oxygen, ice, and things like that, create an atmosphere, or this perfect place like Earth.
Yeah.
What if the black hole creates the new solar system? Because they say that black holes grow as they bring energy in.
Yeah.
So they also have said black holes are normally in the center of a solar system, because of the sun in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And what if it just brings those planets in more and more in, consuming the planets.
For sure.
Right, and then if it springs back up, or like, you know, comes back up and releases all the energy back out, does it create more planets, new systems, new
new elements, possibilities for
right
new space dust
right? It's like it's like the black hole creates a blank canvas, for the new energy to release and make another picture.
For sure. I mean, that's definitely another theory as well. Like, it's super interesting as well, equally, I should say.
Right. Also, with that, another theory about black holes and stuff. It's a theoretical thing. It's called white holes. We've talked about it before, but it's so it's basically the opposite of a black hole. The theory of it is it's it does nothing but release energy, release light, particles, space dust. All
right. Yeah.
Again, it's like the opposite of a black hole, and you can't go into it because it's pushing energy out.
Mm.
But the question is, where's the energy coming from?
Yeah, for sure.
Is it just releasing, or I talked about the theory of the black hole. Will it explode on itself again? Right, the rebound of the pushing down on the space plane, coming back up. Is that what creates a white hole?
For sure.
You know what I mean? Again, completely theoretical. There's no evidence of white holes. It's a theory. I don't know if Einstein had a theory or if it was somebody else, but it's something that I've heard about before. I just thought it was interesting that when I read about it, that it's the opposite of a black hole. Black holes you are able to enter, white holes you can't enter.
Absolutely. That adds a lot more dynamics into what a black hole would be capable of if that theory holds merit. Yeah.
Right.
Like, at that point, where does the line go from that? Is it going to be on the same plane, or would it be on across a different universe or a different plane of existence? Like, it's because if we have white holes in this universe, are they coming from this universe, or are they being exported from another place?
Right.
So then at that point, it becomes even bigger than time travel. We're talking interdimensional bullshit.
But yeah, it's... And the reason why it's white hole is because it's releasing light.
Yeah.
Like we said, black holes, it's absorbing all the light. No light can escape. Mm. White holes, all the light is escaping from it.
Yeah, for sure.
So again, what if it's that energy release from black hole? What if that's what it is? It's the energy release that black holes may have in our theory that we were talking about of it pulling the energy down, rebounding back up, and releasing it all back out into space.
For sure.
What if that's what it is? And we wouldn't know. We haven't found one. If it's true, we wouldn't live long enough to watch a black hole do that, if that's what the case is.
For sure. That's very interesting. I mean, it's... Because then at that point, I mean, it could be a connection sort of thing, where the black holes and the white holes are in some sort of way passageways between one another. It's a wormhole situation where... Yeah.
Right. Because if you don't know what a wormhole is, it's energy goes into one side and comes out the other in another part of space. They don't know if it's like time applied or if it's just position.
For sure.
In space. If you come in one spot, exit another, the wormhole could be really long. It could be small wormhole.
Yeah. Again, talking about that movie Interstellar, it's got all those sorts of things where time dilation becomes a relative construct, and like they were saying, like it's been like what in the movie it's like a month or two, and then in real life it's been like 60 years, and it's just like absolutely crazy crazy dilations in time.
Right. It's in the they don't know if with wormhole how fast you move through the wormhole. They just a theory of it is that you enter one place, exit another.
Absolutely.
And what if this wormhole creation is from like a black hole and white hole combining, in a sense? Because black holes absorb all the energy, white holes release all the energy.
For sure. And at that point, it changes up the theory of white. Or, I'm sorry, of black holes entirely, because then at that point, it's no longer a point in space that is continuously feeding into all energy. It's a point in space to passage its way through into going through a white hole.
Right. And what if that's what the wormhole is? It's the black hole is the entry, the white hole is the exit.
For sure.
Right. So we just don't know because we never entered a black hole. But their theory of black holes is no energy can escape. Yeah. Right. But again, we said, where's the energy going? What if that energy is going to the exit, which would be a white hole?
Yeah, for sure.
But would that be two separate things? Would it be a black hole, white hole is different than a wormhole?
Yeah.
Or could they be the same thing?
Or it could just be a situation where these are separate entities entirely. I mean, these are, again, all still theories that we've just got in our own personal books and things like that. Like, it's... because it could be a situation where black holes are their own thing that could turn into white holes, or white holes are just their own entire creation point entirely. Like, it's just... the implications of a creation of any of these things are so insane.
Right. And, you know, we don't... again, like you said, it's all theories. So to think about that is remarkable of what we don't know.
Yeah.
All the information, the things that we haven't discovered, what the information that we don't know about things. It's just, I don't know. Yeah. It's just crazy to me, mm-hmm. you know, that we can have basically a storm in space, pretty much. A giant storm. It's like a hurricane almost. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like almost like a hurricane, but it's not like spinning. Yeah. It's just bringing energy in, and it's not moving. It's staying in one spot. But it's crazy. Like, you know, we have hurricanes and disasters like this because of the atmosphere and the environment we have. Mm-hmm. Space doesn't have that.
I mean, it might. It just might. Because I mean. Because that brings up the other point of, like, things in the universe that we can't even experience extrinsically because of our size, like, because of how small we are in comparison to everything.
Right.
Because the reality of it is that, for all we know, the universe is its own sort of ecosystem where it has its own sort of laws that it runs by. And, like, it's like things like, I always get mixed up, dark matter or the other one.
I think you said black matter before.
Black matter. It's one of the two, but... we don't understand nearly anything about dark matter, and it's...
right, we're still trying to understand the theory of it, the evidence of it, what it is, what it does.
Absolutely. And it's just, there's so many infinite possibilities of what could be, and we don't know, we have no idea of what the basis would even be. Like, we don't know the starting point of how insane these proportions could grow right. to.
But what's really cool is we can collect so much information about... things so far away from us, like the sun in general, right? There's a theory. Do you know what quantum tunneling is?
I do not. What okay. is quantum tunneling? We're all gonna learn together, you guys. All
right. So it's a quantum theory. You know, quantum elements are all theoretical. There's evidence of them.
Yeah.
That we've done research for and everything, but they're quantum. It's on such a small, like, individual particle basis, right?
Yeah.
So what it is, it's the one particle trying to get through something, right?
Okay.
A solid object can't go through a solid object without breaking a solid object, right?
Okay.
Like, your hand won't just phase through a piece of wood. The wood would have to break for you to get to the other side of it.
Yeah.
But what quantum tunneling is, it's somehow the particle pulls through that solid object. On it, because it's such a small scale that it's able to pull through, and gotcha. that's what they see having stars and the sun and all that. But it's such a small scale that we can't do it. But there are scientists, and I think it's Germany or it might be Russia, I don't remember for sure, but they're trying to do it on a bigger scale.
Gotcha.
They're trying to do evidence and on a bigger scale to see if it's possible. The issue is they can't tell because it hasn't happened. But if you, like, push something together, right, there could be some of the particles going through, like, individual particles, but you can't tell because it's on a larger scale. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, I can
see. So some of the individual particles,
like on an atomic level, right? Something like the quartz of the right. atom are being pushed
through. Some slightly. Of them are being pushed through. Mm-hmm. But because it's so small, you can't see it happening.
Yeah.
But also quantum tunneling happens so rarely, in a sense, they say, mm-hmm. that it's can't really force it to happen, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's such an anomaly. Mm-hmm. That it's just almost impossible, but it does happen.
Okay, yeah. I can see what you mean.
Right.
It's like a 1 in a million instance that we're just trying to replicate over and over again until right. we get it right.
And we can't do that, so it's hard to collect more information on things that we don't even know much about, you know? Yeah,
for sure.
The quantum tunneling, it just happens. Why does it happen?
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So why do stars die?
Mm.
We can tell that... But is that the real reason, or is it just a collection of data that we found, the reason why stars die? Do all dying stars create black holes?
Mm.
Right? Or do only certain ones do, and we don't know why they do, because it's an anomaly that happens. But what I meant, like, with the stars dying and stuff, like, we have information of why they die, right?
Yeah.
But what I was thinking was, like, yes, we've collected data on it and we have the information that we've studied and everything else, but we study it from so far away. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what if it's a different reason that we don't understand or can't understand yet because we haven't gotten okay. the data from, like, we can't get close to a star, the sun. But you see what I'm saying? Like, you get better information from studying things up close.
You're thinking there's some other, like, ulterior reason.
Could there be? I don't know if yeah. I'm not saying there is, but I'm saying sure, could there sure. be a different reason that we just don't know? Because, again, stars take so long to die, from our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Is there more of a different reason?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I meant. And when it comes to black holes, do we have the reasoning of why it happens, or if it's just an anomaly, quantum tunneling, that yeah. it just, the perfect elements are there yeah. to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. You're thinking we just don't have all the information yet to give a more extensive reasoning.
Right, there's always more we can learn.
For sure.
I'm not saying they're wrong. But they're probably right.
Yeah.
You know, for sure, they're scientists, it's their job to learn this stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying there's probably more evidence, more information that we could get from it to find out more of a different reason.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. It's very interesting to, you know, there's always counterpoints and always different ideas of what it could be, what it can't be for anything, you know. So I just always, you know, keep an open mind of more information that we could get from it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what if you go through a black hole or a white hole or a wormhole and it takes you to, like, a different dimension?
That's very interesting. I mean,
but, like, not like the dimension they show in, like, movies and stuff. Mm. Where it's like, oh, there's different creatures and, like, people and things, like, in a different yeah. dimension. That's, I'm meaning like the fourth dimension, like,
you know, how we live like in a new universe. You mean like
right? I mean, like, we live in the third dimension now, and like the, like, 3D, 2D, you know, the first dimension, dimension mm-hmm. zero.
Yeah.
Like, dimension zero being a dot, it can't go left, right, back and forward. It's in one spot, and it's just a dot. And, like, 2D is, like, 2D shapes or whatever that live on a flat plane, the 2D plane that can go left, right, forward, and backwards, like, diagonal in a circle, that kind of stuff. But they can't go up and down.
Yeah.
But then we live in a 3D world. We can go up and down, left, right, all the directions. But they discovered there's a fourth dimension that mm-hmm. we can't see in. And, yeah. like, I was like, what if there's more than just the fourth dimension?
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Like, with, like, different things that we can't see.
Okay.
So, like, what if it can take you to it can that? Like,
ascend your consciousness or something.
Right.
Go crazy, go stupid. Ah.
Like, it's, so, you know, like, about the Tesseract. We talked about the Tesseract before.
Yeah.
But the Tesseract is a shape but it's not the shape that the it's not the fourth dimension shape. It's the shadow of the fourth dimension shape that they've created, I guess.
Yeah, because we just can't perceive it at all.
Yeah, exactly. We can't. We just can't.
Yeah.
You can't think about what the fourth dimension would look like, because the fourth dimension, they say that you can, they can see whatever the fourth dimension, you'll be able to see the inside of an object as well as the outside at the same time at every angle. So you can see the object at every angle at once. So like, you know how like we see a circle, right?
We have to rotate the circle to see all sides.
Right. Or we see a cylinder, a sphere. Right.
Oh, that's what
we,
I meant,
we look at a sphere. We only see the front of it, and yeah, it still looks like a circle.
Mm.
We can see it in 3D because of 3D shape, but yeah, we only see like the 2D shape outline basically all at once.
Yeah, one of my physics teachers was talking about that. How we're, if you're a three dimensional being, you can interact with three dimensional objects, but you can only see them in two dimensions.
So right.
For example, a square, you can only see, or I'm sorry, a cube. You can see a square like on in the cube, and you can register that it's an object in the third dimension because you're able to grab it, hold it,
move
it, and stuff like that. But it's still, you can only perceive the square being perceived in a different angle.
Right, not the actual cube, because in the fourth dimension, they can see the entire 3D object at once,
which is freaky.
The inside, the outside, the everything, and all that good stuff. So you see it all sides, all angles, the inside, the outside, all at once. They can perceive all of that.
That is super freaky. Oh my gosh.
Like, it just doesn't, you can't think about that.
Exactly.
Like, imagine, like, I don't know how to.
There's almost no imagine.
Yeah, just imagine. I don't know how.
Everybody outside, just close your eyes and just imagine.
Just close your eyes and think about a shape that you can see the inside, the outside, and all the other angles.
It's like, no, not all even at that. Once. You just close your eyes and just think.
Just imagine.
Just imagine us talking to you about thinking about something.
4D shape.
And then,
well, like, even like pictures. When pictures are taken, they're taken in 2D.
Yeah.
Like not because it, not because it's a flat plane, but because. Mm. You don't, like, you see the, like a picture of the Earth,
yeah.
Right? You know, I'll see the Earth because you know what the Earth looks like, but you can't see the 3D, like, scope of it.
Yeah.
If you draw out a 3D, like, a cube, then people all draw, like, the two squares and then connect the vertexes and stuff.
Yeah.
Vertices. Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
The corners.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. they connect them. They're not drawing a cube. They're drawing the shadow of the cube.
Yeah.
Which is what... Like, again, that's what
it's the same concept as that,
right? And they talk about like the 2D world that they can't. It's like an object or somebody lived in the 2D world, they can't perceive a cube.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if it was a, like, they can't look up. There's no up to them. There's no down to them. It's just flat. It's just,
yeah.
So if one of us were looking down and we were calling the town in the 2D world, they would have no idea, like, what was going on. They've, like, a ghost or, like, some spiritual being is calling them and everything else.
Ooh, that brings up a and that's actually very interesting, because that brings up the counterpoint of, like, ghosts and things like that. Like, what if ghosts are just four-dimensional beings trying to interact with our world that we just are misconstruing?
Right.
Other things.
Because they can, like, tip over a lamp or a light or something, but we can't see them because of the being in the fourth dimensional world and the fourth dimension of things that we can't.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
Or maybe they don't even care about us. They just be vibing.
we're like their like dollhouse.
Oh, we're just toys to them.
Oh my god. I mean, like, I don't know.
Watch this, man. I'm about to flick this man's light off. Oh my god, what is that?
Oh, yeah. But yeah, the whole new dimension discovery thing is really interesting. And
yeah, for sure. But you know, that does bring up a different kind of point, in that it brings up this thing from this book I had read a good minute ago. This book has been on for a long time now. It's called The Red Pyramid. It was by Rick Riordan.
Mm-hmm.
Same guy that actually made Percy Jackson series.
Yeah.
But it's this... It's, the thing I want to talk about is this guy from it's one of the main casts. This little boy, he's able to reach into another dimension and pull things out, and I think that would be very interesting to like have a thing for, like, because I don't.
He's like, you. So like, we were talking about like the fourth dimension, the third dimension, second dimension, and all that, and like the different planes and point of views. But you're saying it's like the book perceives it as like a different universe, like a different place, completely, not like a fourth dimension or anything. It's like the same thing that we have, but differences, like different like creatures or different like elements or whatever over there, basically, in a way.
I'm not too sure, actually, because the basis of it is that it's like Egyptian magicians that were like protecting and, you know, keeping balance with everything like that. But but with this one, like, they don't, again, it's just a storybook. They don't really want any science put behind it, so obviously what I'm doing is kind of counterintuitive, but
right.
Like, you could put him in both contexts, I would assume. I mean, potentially. Because they don't make it seem like his ability is unprofound.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what I mean? Like more people than none could do it. But then at that point, it brings up two different, you know, interesting points in the fact that it could either be a universal different thing or a dimensional difference. Or something else entirely, honestly, because it's the way that they have it is that pretty much they view it as a locker. So it's like you have a personal locker into this different dimension, universe,
mm-hmm.
pocket dimension thing.
Okay, well, it makes sense if it was a pocket dimension.
That's what I mean. Like whenever I thought about it, that's what I would assume it would be.
Like a pocket dimension. That mm-hmm. makes more sense. It's like a dimension between dimensions, almost. Like it's not like it's kind of a dimension, but there's nothing there. It's just like a pocket in this
exact
space-time thing.
Because, like, again, because they can access it from any point at any time. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no real restriction on it. The only thing that you need is they're like, you need some sort of key to, or mental key, I guess,
right.
You could say, to get into the locker. You can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes.
I don't know why that the book sounds like. You remember the Magic Treehouse books?
Magic Treehouse. I don't actually
know. No. So it's like this brother and sister team that had a treehouse or whatever.
Mm.
I remember it was their treehouse or whatever it was, but there's books in there, or there'd be like a new book, and there was like someone that like was like teaching them or whatever, I think.
Okay.
And the book would be like,
sounds like
they have like a task to do in the book.
Okay.
But when they would open the book, they would transport to that. Like, not in, like almost in, like into the book in a sense, basically.
Mm, okay.
And it was pretty cool. Like, they went to like the Wild West and like space and there's like, it was like a kid's book.
Yeah.
But it was just, it's just kind of reminded me of that.
Just sort of in a way. Like a personalized area you can go into.
Yeah, it was interesting.
It's super, like because the concept is very obviously it's sort of a stretch to put it out there, but like the more I thought about it really and like set time aside to really pursue the thoughts for it, I started like thinking, I was like, man, this is actually like pretty like deep to think about. Like, this has more practical applications, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm sorry, it has more ability to have practical applications than anything else. So like, my idea for it is that something of like a device to make it like to create a pocket dimension for it.
Right.
Because the basis of that is pretty much like we were talking about, there's generally like three kind of points here, that it's either a greater dimension that we're not able to really comprehend,
mm-hmm.
that it is a universe.
And it's like a different type of universe.
Yeah, like he's just able to pretty much like make a black hole, white hole, wormhole thing,
yeah.
a different universe to get access to it. Or it's a pocket dimension.
Right.
Which so for the universe theory, it doesn't really make any sense because it doesn't follow you everywhere. Because it's something that, you know, you can always access it from any point and you'll always get the same reaction towards it. You're always able to reach at the same point.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're moving, then it doesn't really make sense.
Or like pocket dimensions, you can just transfer to the pocket dimension itself from wherever yeah, exactly. you are, and the relatively, theories you of can it, right?
Run it across the universe. Like you can always just keep it with you,
right?
And then the theory of the fourth dimension isn't a theory of like, oh, this is a different like thing.
It's technically the same universe, just in a greater
yeah.
in sense. It's weird to like think so, and like, explain.
So the way that like I would view it. Is more of a like relatively, because again everybody can access the same thing, so it's at a point where it's like if everybody has access to it and all that sort of thing, then why aren't you running into other people's things? Why can't you just go into your pocket dimension right. and go, oh, that guy has some stuff over like 50 yards that way,
right.
just walk over there and take his
it would make sense if it was like their own personal pocket dimension though. Like, you get a pocket dimension, you get a pocket dimension, and you
yeah,
get
exactly.
a pocket dimension. That would be more
that's,
interesting.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. So it's like one of those sorts of things where you can actually create, like, a device or something like that to create your own pocket dimension. And that sort of, you know, spiraled out even further down into other ideas. Like, for example, like, how would you maintain that sort of thing? How would you be able to lighten the load for it?
Right.
Because, obviously, you know... granted, you would have to, like you wouldn't need constant access into the thing,
mm-hmm.
but you would always need it to be tethered to a point in that universe to be connected to you, which
right.
brings up like a whole bunch of different stuff to kind of bring it all together. Like the fact of the matter is, it would have to be something where you could tether the point by which that pocket dimension is able to travel with you through that device or through that thing, because obviously, you know, in this context we don't have magical abilities, we don't have, you know, god, we don't, I'm sorry, we don't, but you know, there's many different possibilities that it could be, and honestly it's going to be something more just for, you know, my late night fever dreams and you know, just those deep thought conversations. And obviously, you know, as that thought progresses, I'll probably bring it up again at a later point, but I mean, I think at this point we're sort of out of time for you guys.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be the whole podcast, and thank you guys for coming back, listening to the second episode. Third episode will come out soon. I know this one's taking a little bit to come out, but hopefully you guys enjoyed.
Absolutely, hope you guys enjoy, hope you guys have a great time.
All right, see you next time.